It was so appropriate as we, anywhere with Jesus, because our children being in mission have lived in China, in Taiwan, and now are living in Thailand since August. We have been able, we've been blessed to visit them to see how they have gone anywhere with Jesus over the years, and this last trip was to Thailand. We're excited to share it. And the reason that the umbrella is not facing the pretty side is because we got to see them actually make that whole complicated procedure. It's just every bit as complicated as any handicraft we do, knitting or crocheting any technical thing. It is beautiful, but it's beautiful on both sides.
We left last year and came back this year. The day we were scheduled to leave before Christmas was right at the same time that the Atlanta airport went dark for 12 hours. We were flying from Charlotte through Atlanta and on from there, so we had to reschedule our trip while they sorted all that out. And you start rescheduling flights that were canceled that accumulate for halfway around the world. It's more of a challenge than just replacing one flight. So we finally made it. We got to Thailand before Christmas. And Thailand, we know about the country of Siam, the King and I. That's somewhat what most of us know about. Elephants. Elephants we saw, exotic dancers, costumes. We went to a cultural night where we saw people in their native costumes talking about what they do as minority peoples. They're not persecuted, they're not hidden, they're not driven out, they're protected there and promoted. We had a meal, and all these local people came and performed for us. Beautiful countryside, umbrellas, pottery is made there. The umbrella we saw, come on, stop. Umbrellas we saw made, this one is here. It's a lot of bamboo in it. We'll talk about a little bit more detail about that. I was looking at the price tag on this. It's a 145 baht, and a baht is about 33 bahts to the dollar. So 145 bahts is about $5 for that handmade umbrella. So Thailand, the country, is the land of the free. They've successfully maintained their freedom all these years from colonization. They do drive on the left-hand side of the road, so Britain had a little bit of an influence. But surrounding them are other countries that have all been colonized. Vietnam is next door. You know, the French were there, a big influence. China's to the north. But Thailand prides itself in being free all that time. And they believe that that's because of a special guardian angel that has been working, overseeing them. And that's what these pictures were about, is the Buddhists are honored for that reason. And they have a thing called making merit, where you go feed the monks. And if you remember these pictures, between Christmas and New Year's, the neighborhood where our daughter lives set up tables along a whole city block, two sides, and neighbors came out and put out food, and the monks came along and took food in baskets and then dumped them in this pickup truck and took them back to their monastery, their wat. And then as you go visit, if you go to a monastery and visit the monks, you take food and you make merit. It's kind of like making favor, I guess, with the spiritual, the beings there.
Okay. For many Thai, their nationality and religion are closely linked in a web of cultural, spiritual darkness, and Buddhism. And this is how Thailand is described in a video by a food critic who lives there now. This is a very enjoyable, comfortable, easy, and pleasurable place to live, and very tolerant. Ties will leave you alone. They won't interfere with your life. They won't tell you what to do. They won't spy on you. The dark side of this culture is that there's deep corruption and spiritual bondage. For example, the sex trade that is notorious in Bangkok in the south is also present in Chiang Mai in the north, where our children live. As we ate in restaurants over the 2 weeks we were there, on four separate occasions, I saw retired aged men who were accompanied by young boys of a different race. And I'll let you draw your own conclusion in terms of that. The first time you'd see it, you wouldn't think anything of it. But after seeing it for four times, it was evident what was really going on with that relationship.
The monarchy is very important in Thailand. The king just passed away a year ago, and there was a year's worth of mourning for the king in his passing. There he is on a billboard. You see billboards all over honoring the king. Well, you don't see it.
Before we even arrived, we were warned, you do not make fun of the monarchy. It's serious. You do not make jokes or make any fun of the monarchy. The past king who just recently died was a benevolent king. He did so much good for his country, and he was well loved. There was a year of mourning.
For the king. The King and I, the movie, The King and I, you cannot have it or view it in Thailand because it dishonors the king. If you remember the storyline, a British teacher comes and challenges a king and winds up being his peer almost, dominating his thought. That's not honoring the monarchy. You cannot see the movie The King and I in Taiwan.
Thailand.
I'm confused about that because our daughter Chelsea and her family moved to Thailand from Taiwan, which sounds the same. Here's another billboard with a king. He's got a ham radio in his hand. I'm an amateur radio operator, ham radio operator, and before I went, I was trying to figure out, can I take a ham radio into the country and operate while I'm there? But it's very restrictive. They have three license classes like we'd have in this country, of different levels of proficiency. The king is the only one that holds the highest license class of a ham radio, and there he is on a radio. The other class, there's only about 300 or so hams in the country, and they've only had one license examining class in 8 years, so it's pretty restrictive. If you bring in a radio, it has to be on their approved list, and they have to examine it, so they're very restrictive about amateur radio. I can't imagine it's an issue about being exposed to outside influences because the internet's everywhere. That's not a problem at all. The other thing I noticed is the infrastructure. You see all the power lines all over the city.
Come on here. And it just looks like a rat's nest everywhere. It was hard to get a picture of that billboard because of all the power lines that were in the way.
Something keeps timing out here. I don't know what it is.
The next picture you're going to see is a map of Thailand. If you draw a circle 2,000 miles wide around Bangkok in the south, there are more people living in that circle than there are outside the circle in the rest of the world. That is the concentration of people in that area. And so it is very strategic in terms of mission work. There is freedom of religion in Thailand, which makes it comfortable to live there as a Christian. Our children live in the north end of Thailand in Chiang Mai. It is strategically located because it is a free area surrounded by closed countries. You see Cambodia, Laos, Burma, China. So it's a wonderful location to send missionaries out from, or in the case of our children, they are in a supportive role for other missionaries. And so other missionaries come to Thailand for medical procedures, for various things they need to get done. And so Thailand is very strategic in terms of mission. We were amazed when we came back and learned that Kurt had already given a message about Lottie Moon a couple of weeks ago. And you heard the remarkable history of that woman, 4'3" tall, and the impact she made on China and on missions in the Southern Baptist Convention. Our children are missionaries under the Southern Baptist Church, and the mission agency is the IMB, the International Mission Board. Our children attend a house church in their neighborhood with folks from other countries and other agencies, and one of the blessings of our trip was to meet those who are in mission with them. Back when Lottie Moon was a missionary, she went off on her own. Now, the picture, the face of mission has changed, and so that there are people who are in place who support missionaries, and our son-in-law is in tech support. It's amazing what we've seen over the last 30 years of how technology is coming into the mission field and how that is spreading the gospel in amazing ways. 30 years ago, we went to down to Waxhaw and visited the JARS mission agency down there, and they talked about developing software for translation for Wycliffe Bible translators. They call this software Shoebox, because way back when you would go into a village to learn their language, you would point to something and they'd tell you what the name of it was. You'd write it on a 3x5 card and you put it in a shoebox, and gradually over the years you would develop the language, a written language for them, and then you would translate it into scripture. So we saw the beginnings of computer technology 30 years ago, and now we're seeing how our son-in-law is supporting missionaries who come in and say, my computer doesn't work, or I'm locked out, what do I do? You know what we're like when we're at home and our computer doesn't work. It really is essential to have that.
This is one couple that's involved in tech support that worked with David. Their families, they have kids, they go to school, they do all the things in life that we do in this country, but they do it in another country. This is another couple that is there providing medical support. They actually live in Taiwan. They were visiting Thailand while we were there. We had met them in Taiwan several years ago. They're medical support. They're both in the medical field. And if you have a medical problem, you can talk to these people or email them and say, I've got this problem or that problem. And they say, well, here's what you need to do, or here's where you need to go. They recently had a situation where a mother had a pregnancy that got into big trouble, and they wound up taking her out of the country, out of...
She had the baby. She developed a blood clot, was having seizures. They flew her into Thailand, into Bangkok, and they were able to give her the excellent medical treatment that she needed. They flew in the family to help care for the newborn and to be there in the hospital. This is a deaf woman in China, and she was flown to Thailand for medical care, and then she has recovered. She's on blood thinner now. She's doing fine, and she's back in China. That's one of the things that these people would coordinate. Vong was the husband of that family fled from Cambodia when he was a boy. His family was very well off in Cambodia. They fled, and he grew up in the United States, and now he and his family are back in Southeast Asia in mission.
This is another member of the technical team, an older couple. Their kids have grown up and moved on in their lives, but they have served previously in
Kazakhstan, Afghanistan, Dubai, and now they are in Thailand. So you hear the conversations. We went to a soccer practice of our granddaughter, and I heard a boy out on the field saying, "Well, there's an 80% chance that we will be moving to Chile." And I thought to myself, child, you do not even know how amazing it is to hear that. What, you know, what does he know about Chile? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But, you know, you talk to some people, missionaries. Well, where have you served? How long have you been in the mission field? How long have you been in Thailand? People are from all over. They've been to so many different countries. It's truly amazing what a life they're living.
One of the challenges for missionaries is to justify, why are you in this country? In Thailand, Thailand is not a problem because it's so open, but in other countries it is. Mm-hmm. Why are you here? Well, I'm out here to spread the word of Christ. You can't say that. So they look for a platform or some reason to be there. Sometimes they're teachers. Mm-hmm. This fellow in Pakistan had developed a business, kind of like a call center, you know, where you get on your track phone or you have a problem with Microsoft and you wind up in India or somewhere that is a call center. Well, he set up a call center for a medical insurance company, and he hired trained local people. So the money was being generated outside the country. You know, the U.S. company was paying them for the support, but he was actually operating with a labor base in Pakistan. And it turned out he was making money and paying himself a salary and providing jobs for people there. But his real reason for being there was evangelism. So it's a challenge sometimes to generate a platform, they call it, about why are you in this country? And he was successful in doing that. Often it's not a money-making business. It's subsidized by a church back home or the IMB or to provide a cover, if you will, while you're there doing their work.
This is also a picture of the Christmas party that we attended with them and the tech support people. And this was in the guest house where we actually stayed for 2 weeks at a very reasonable price. The IMB actually owns this guest house and has that housing available for priority is for maternity trips, for medical emergencies or procedures that need to happen, and for families, missionaries who are visiting. So it was a very comfortable place to stay while we were there. Oh, that's our family. I do have to put a disclaimer there. Our son, our grandson on the left is on his tiptoes. Even though he's the tallest one in the family, he doesn't feel like he's tall enough yet. He is turning 16 next month. That's Joshua, and then next is David. And there's Dave and I, and then there's our daughter, Chelsea, and then there's our granddaughter, Hannah, who just turned 13 while we were there, and she was very excited that we were there for her birthday, and it was her 13th birthday. So that was lots of fun. It's really been amazing to see them grow over the years. It was the best visit ever. This is an example of how they're reaching out in their community. You know how Leona had a little bag of hot cocoa for us at the women's Christmas party this year, and I thought, oh, that's neat. I think I'll just take that little bag over with me to Thailand and give it as a gift. Well, Chelsea had already made up just as many of these bags of hot cocoa over there with directions either in Thai or in English, according to who she was going to give it to. And she gave it to people that they were in contact with every day. The people, this was their landlord who had stopped by. And you give a greeting like this with your hands together, bow a little bit. And so she had given him some hot cocoa. But according to who she was giving it to, she was able to give them scripture in their language, or nothing, just, you know, a gesture of goodwill. And they were able as a family to make numerous contacts in their community. that way. It was exciting.
Yeah, they've been there about 4 months at this point.
We have newsletters available that has a wonderful story in it about this situation. You're free to take a newsletter home with you and read more about how that effort went on beyond what they expected.
There's another story in the newsletter briefly is there's a neighbor down the street that was ill, and monks had a steady stream of monks coming in praying for her. And a neighbor who's in the home church, house church with the Lutes, was seeing all this and wanted to reach out from in a Christian perspective to this gal. And she was had made a contact, and then Chelsea later was able to go, kind of with God's miracle, a delay because of flat tires on a bicycle that made her coincide with the arrival of this woman's daughter who spoke English. And so they made an even better connection. So, and Chelsea gave her one of these packages of cocoa mix as well and made that contact through her daughter. So there's more details in the newsletter about how that worked out.
This is David Worry Works, and the Thai staff person who is the administrative assistant for him. And these are the example of the children who are involved in mission because their families are involved in mission, all ages, and this was at the Christmas party.
Big Coca-Cola theme in this dining room. They have in the building we're in, where we stayed, they have a common kitchen on the main floor, and then there are several apartments, or I guess apartments on the upper floors that have kitchenettes where people can spread out as a family and stay longer. But this was, they had stoves and refrigerators, and we'd go down there and eat breakfast. We had a little spot in the refrigerator for our bread and juice and bananas. What we want to talk about now is kind of what's life like in Thailand, living in Thailand. You saw a picture of a wet market or a fruit market where all the vegetables are there that come in locally. Here's bananas and citrus. They're short bananas and real nice, sweet, short bananas. Our bananas are, you know, real long ones. The original bananas are actually only about the size of your thumb. We learned that in Honduras where they grow a lot of bananas. But the price on this is 35 baht. It's about $1.10 for that bunch of bananas. And they keep quite a while. They're very good. This is
Border Run,
Border Run. It's a cute little truck. The drawers slide out, and there's food trays in there that they put together and make you a wrap or a taco or something like that. And then the top back folds down, and the drawers go in, and you can drive on down the street and set up another place.
This is right next to that vegetable market. And it's very popular because there's a big expat community in this town. And so, boy, to be able to get Mexican food in Thailand is really wonderful. And it is good food.
You can see behind Chelsea, there's a whole string of motorcycles. Lots and lots and lots of motorcycles in this country. Here's me ordering by picture.
I think Dave and I could actually go into a Thai restaurant now and order something. We found out that our son-in-law really is a foodie, and he was able to help us order because he knows we do not like spicy food, and Thai food is often spicy. So that was really a gift for us to be able to enjoy some of the Thai food that wasn't spicy. There's also a Starbucks in the area. There's McDonald's. And because of the expat community, there's a demand for that sort of thing, so we were able to enjoy some of that.
there we go.
There's Dave. So the language is often in English and Thai. That's not what Dave ordered, but that was an example of one of the meals that we enjoyed. There's the Starbucks that actually the inside looked like a temple. It did. It looked like a Buddhist temple with high ceilings and
fancy woodwork.
Yeah. The Thai language is very difficult to learn. There are different tones according to, you know, do you use high pitch or low pitch? And so this mall, this plaza mall where these places were, was farong. And if you say that word incorrectly, it means guava. So if you say it correctly, it means foreign mall. So it's the mall for the expats. There's just a lot of natural beauty. This was part of an elephant camp where they're preserving and conserving elephants, and they have elephant shows. And though that looks like a Disney World animatronics, but it wasn't. And here's Dave getting a kiss from an elephant.
Real juicy, slimy. Put the trunk up there and suck on your cheek and then pop
yeah,
away.
Yeah, then they have a sink where you can get washed off.
People would give money, put money out, and the elephant would pick it up in his trunk, tip money, and reach back and pass it to the rider on the elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. Also trained well as artists. They're not very good at portraits, but they're good at still lives. Can you imagine that? Four elephants twice a day paint landscapes and still lives and stuff like that, and you can buy them in the store there at the camp. But an elephant did all that. Put a brush in the trunk and they tap it and recreate an image. Amazing.
I'm not doing this very well.
This is a section of the old town of Chiang Mai. It was surrounded by a moat and a wall, and they're actually working on restoring that brick wall. Once a month, they hold a night market that starts at 4 in the afternoon and goes till beyond midnight. And because we're old geezers and our daughter doesn't like crowds, we went at 4 o'clock, and we enjoyed the booths and the music and everything that we saw there at the night market.
This is wood from a mango tree. Very colorful.
This is mango sticky rice. And they cut up a mango right in front of you, and they put sweet coconut syrup on the rice, and it's delicious.
This is some of the transportation. This is a...
Song tau.
And they have little tuk-tuks, which are... a smaller kind of glorified bicycle kind of thing. Lots of motorcycles with a welded-on sidecar.
This is how our kids, our grandkids get to school, is they go on a song tau, cram a bunch of kids in this.
You can get 10 or 15 people in the back of that truck.
Yeah.
Here's another transportation, motorcycle. You can see the dog there in the front. Lots of motorcycles.
And they drive on the left side of the road.
There's a speed limit through town, 90. That's kilometers per hour. Multiplied by 0.6, so that's about 55 miles an hour.
These are umbrellas before they get their covers on. The ladies have woven the strings through and made them so the mechanics work. It's a traditional greeting in Thailand, is the Y, they call it.
There's three generations of women there. Friend of those umbrellas.
And this is one of the craftspeople who works on that portion of the umbrella, and she's weaving thin cotton string through some punched holes in the bamboo to create the mechanism.
That's a good question. Several hours, I would say. It's kind of an assembly line. One person, you either pass it on down the line to the next person. This is Back to the Future. We're watching on TV one night, and the subtitles are in Thai. But the audio was in English.
And this is the end. I took this because I thought, I never knew that an elephant's tail was also a brush to keep the flies off and everything else. It was amazing. But that's the end of our little tour, and we hope that you continue, as you have an opportunity, and as God directs, if you have an opportunity to make a donation to Lottie Moon over the years, you know it will be put to good use. Thank you so much.